turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. That's way before Jesus' triumphant entry. But I want us to look at celebrating today. And today's message is simply celebrating. And we have to learn how and when to do that. There's a lot of things that may go wrong, but there's an awful lot of things that are going right. You know, we woke up with breath in our lungs today. We had a roof over our heads. And we have at least one person that loves us. And if you're questioning that, well, you know Jesus Christ loves you. And if you don't know that, then I'm glad you're here today, because Jesus Christ loves you. We're a blessed nation. We're a blessed church here. And we've got to find out how in the world to celebrate. We're going to be moving through this kind of quickly, so just bear with me and hang in there. We're going through Isaiah, and we're just going to hit and pick a few things in there before we move into the New Testament as well. So hang on as we get going there. Does anyone feel like celebrating today? Anybody? Yes, let's hear it. You want to celebrate? Let's celebrate. Online, celebrate as well. We have to celebrate Jesus Christ. We have to celebrate our faith. Number one, that's how we attract people to us, because we're celebrating. We're happy about it. We are thankful for it. Man, I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ. Let me celebrate. You know, I work with my youngest son, Austin, and a guy was talking to him the other day, and I came through, and he goes, "Oh, hey, there's my dad." And he goes, "Oh, I was just looking for you, but I was talking to Austin, and he wanted us to pray for his daughter." And I thought, isn't that great that your testimony is such that people seek you out and say, "Will you pray for my daughter? My daughter is sick." And we'll pray for you as well. And we'll have an opportunity here in just a minute as a church. We want to take just a second. We're going to pray over individuals that need our prayers. We want to pray for ourselves, because we may not be humble enough to say, "I need help. And I need these things." But we're here to celebrate today. And you guys said you're ready to celebrate. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. My Lord, there was more noise coming right out of here, these five individuals, and out of the rest. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Not to be outdone, they just got louder. That's awesome. I appreciate that. And really, I just want to see if you're in the mood to celebrate. Doing it twice loudly sounds like you are. So let's get moving. Isaiah chapter 40. It's an amazing chapter. And as we start out, the very first verse, and the first word says, comfort. Man, we can celebrate when we have comfort, when others comfort us. And it says, comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her. And we're going to be reading Isaiah 41 through 5. And it says, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Man, is there reason to celebrate in the midst of that? Yes, the Babylonian exiles said that the very first thing, they received his comfort. Babylonian exiles had been through a lot, and they've come to a point and a place in their lives that the Lord has said, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. And he's giving them comfort. Anybody need comfort today? 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, there we go. Anyone need comfort today? Any young people need any comfort today? Thank you. Thank you. That's excellent. Thank you. God is here to comfort us. That is reason. And God will comfort us. Later on, and I love this, later on in the New Testament, I've mentioned it before in the past, it says, comfort my people. It says, because I have comforted you in your time of need. God will show us comfort and allow us to comfort other people in their time of need. They received his comfort. They've come to the end of the war. But it says, you will receive double from the Lord's hand for all your sins. I'm older, I have a lot of sins behind me, and I'm thinking, Lord, if you're going to give me double from your hand for my sins, whoo, what a blessing. But it's the same thing for those that have sinned even less. It says, you will receive double from the Lord's hand. That's reason to celebrate. Verse 3 and 5, as we look at that, it says, others prepared the way of the Lord for every one of you. And I want us to listen up carefully, church, and those listening online. I've got something I want you to think about in just a minute. Others prepared the way of the Lord for you. Now we have to do the same and prepare the way of the Lord for others coming behind us. Eric mentioned we're celebrating 35 years of the church this fall. Those people that came before us, and they prepared the way of the Lord for us to enjoy this building, in this place, in this gathering, in this fellowship. And we have to do the same. Kathy said, just bring someone extra with you next week and we'll double. Is it that simple? Yes. I see my grandson over there. He can't invite someone. Great. Sounds like, Mom, you've got to invite two people now. One to cover you and my grandson. Okay? So we have to look at those things. But I want us to think, who opened the path for you in your spiritual walk? Just take a minute to think back. Who did that? Who prepared the way of the Lord for you in your life? Parents, friends, maybe God Himself revealed Himself to you. Who did that? And now we have a responsibility to share that with others as well. Other people came in. Now, hang on there, folks. We're going to be flipping through a couple verses here. Isaiah chapter 41. And really, we're not reading specific things, but he tells us about the Lord. And it says, the Lord chose you. You did not choose him. He chose you. Anybody blessed to be here today? Not just here at church, but be here on this earth today? Man, I am. He chose you. He chose you. No matter what you've gone through, He chose you. And it says, He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will uphold you. I did a message on that before. And it says, here's the promises that He says, I'll do. I will help you. Sometimes we just have to open our ears or our minds. This is where a lot of things go wrong up here. In our hearts. He says, I'll help you. You just got to listen to me. I've told you what to do. You didn't do it. I can help you, but not if you don't listen. Not if you don't follow my instructions. I'm not going to ask the ratio of parents and children and who listened and didn't and had to learn the hard way. But there's a lesson in that. Those that know. And he says, he will do these things for us. In 41 verse 13, he says, for I, the Lord, your God... Remember, he's not my God alone. He's your God. And he says, for I, the Lord, your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, he's not just saying it to me, he's saying it to each and every one of you. And he says, fear not, for I will help you. And he goes on to be specific about some other things. Isaiah chapter 41 is an amazing chapter. It says, yes, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. I'll hold your right hand. Fear not, I will help you continually through that chapter. Let me ask you a question, and I don't want you to be too embarrassed to answer. Anybody need their hand held today? Yeah. God, could you hold my hand? Keep your hands up for just a minute. Anyone need their hand held today? He says, I'll hold your hand. I will help you. God says, if you will allow me, I will lead you. Thank you. I will lead you, but you've got to let me hold your right hand. You've got to let me help you. And in the midst of that, I will uphold you. And in that, you do not have a reason to fear. What does it say? Perfect love cast out what? All fear. Thank you. It casts that out. Those of you that need your hand held, let's take a moment. This is the moment where we're just going to pray for a minute. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I ask you for those that held their hand up that need you to hold their hand, that desire for you to direct them and guide them and help them and uphold them. Lord, that you would reach down to them, make yourself known to them, but Lord, that they would respond to you by holding firmly to your hand. Lord, for our friend at work that desires prayers for his daughter Susie, Lord, that you would bless him, you would make yourself known to both him and her during this time of need, that you would improve our health, our finances, our relationships, our thought processes. Lord, whatever it is that we need your guidance from, Lord, that you would hold us and you would help us through this. Lord, for those online that we can't see that also desire for their hand to be held by you, Lord, that they would feel your presence today. Lord, that they would submit to you and follow you. Heavenly Father, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. These are reasons to celebrate. We have a God that comforts us. We have a God that says, I will help you. Many of us may have encountered people in our life that said, figure it out on your own. I'm not helping you. Do it yourself. And he says, I'll help you. I'll give you direction. I'll give you guidance. You just listen to me and you follow me. And it's that obedience factor on our part that gets us in trouble sometimes. But he says, I'll do these things for you. Reason to celebrate. I'm going to help you, comfort you, strengthen you, uphold you. I'm going to guide you. Yeah, but I've got to give up these things. There we go, finding the negative in the midst of all the positives in life. There's a lot going on in this country and in this world, and I don't even know all of it because I don't watch the news anymore. I can't take it. I just can't take it. I thought, well, Adam, how do you keep up with things? What do I need to keep up with? Okay. I haven't watched the news in months other than a splattering here or there. And I thought, I don't want to be drugged down by this stuff. And I don't want people telling me how to think. I want my stuff to come from the Word of God, the thing that I believe in, the thing that I rely on. Eric said last week, we're going to preach the gospel. And the gospel sometimes is painful for us to hear because we have all these other things outside of the gospel that we want to focus on. And that's what we want to hang our name on. Let me tell you, when it comes down to the end, there's one thing I want to hang my name on. And it's this book and the things that are in it and my relationship with Jesus Christ. And when I hang my name on it, I want that name to say Christ follower. And I want it to be crisp letters, not that rolled up, tattered thing that's been abused and drug around and stepped on. And you can barely read the name. So I'm barely recognizable. This is what I want to hang my name on. Reason to celebrate. You know, flip over to Isaiah 43 real quick. And there's a lot of battles that the people went through in Isaiah, but then the Lord shows himself and he shows up and he says, these are the things that I will pull you through and I will help you with. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he formed you, O Israel. And guess what? He has formed each and every one of us. You know, quite frankly, this church is getting a little exciting with babies and babies to come. We have babies on the way in case you didn't know. We have babies that were just born. We have little ones growing up. Good grief, I wish David Evenson a happy birthday this morning and said, I remember when you came here, you were 11. You're 16 now. Hang on, Dad. Hang on. Okay? But what an amazing young man. And as we see these people grow, and then we've got some young people here with us, and we see these babies coming to the church, and he says, I created each and every one of you. You know, and it used to be a thing when Miss Dorothy was here that we could say, you're our oldest member, or Paul Houck. Right now, I'm not pointing anybody out, okay? I'm not doing that. That contest is over right now. When you hit those 90s, we'll maybe point you out, but I'm not hitting those numbers now to point out who our oldest member is, okay? But I thought, those are things to celebrate. And when we see these people gaining in age, and I just think, man, I created you. I created you and you and you and you and our young ones and our babies. I created each and every one of you. But listen as he says at the end of verse 1, he says, I have called you by your name and you are mine. We belong to him. We may not have acknowledged it. We may not even know it at some point, but he says, you are mine. I've called you by name. And then he will call us not just his sons and daughters, but he will call us to be believers in him. And he'll call us, and he has chosen us. And I love that, where he says, I've called you specifically, you are mine. And then in verse 5, if you'll flip down a little bit, verse 5, it says, fear not again, for I am with you. He continually reminds us, I am with you. If you are going through a challenge, a trial, a crisis, and by the way, your crisis may be small potatoes to someone, and your small potatoes may be a crisis to someone else. We don't get to pick what's a crisis for other people. But if we are going through what we consider a crisis or a problem, he says, man, fear not. He says, I know you're going through it. He says, by the way, my ears do not get heavy. They do not get stopped up. I hear you when you call on me. Don't think I have worn him out asking for help this week, this month, this year. Don't think that. You continue to call on him and rely on him for the response. Our friends will give us advice left and right, but rely on him. Call on him. Fear not, in verse 5 of Isaiah 43, for I am with you. He says, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm going through this with you. I know what you're going through. As we flip over to verse 18. Uh-oh. Church, this is going to be a hard one for some of us. Do not remember the former things. Yeah, but you see, my upbringing, it was drilled in my head. And these things were so horrific, or they were so traumatic. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, I make all things new. And I love when I do a funeral and I can say that. And I says, he says there will be no more tears. There will be no more sickness. And he says, behold, I make all things new. And here he says it in the Old Testament as well. Behold, I will do a new thing. We do not have to wait till we face our Maker and stand in heaven before him to see that he can do new things in your life. It's transformation. We have to believe his promises. I thought I had words to say at the end. Kisha had words to say. The Holy Spirit filled those in for me. Thank you. And most of them were, do you believe what you're saying and what you're singing? Behold, I make all things new. He can do it. These people I have formed for myself, he says in verse 21. He says, these people I have formed for myself, and these people shall declare my praise. There was some praising going on today as we were singing, amen? Makes sense during praise and worship that we were praising God. We have to remember to celebrate. We have to remember to praise Him. Reason to celebrate. He makes all things new. Reason to celebrate. I don't have to stay the same old way. I can change. He can change me. Again, change comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, not on our own. But we have to submit to that power to allow that transformation to happen. Now, let's get to the celebration. Flip over to Matthew chapter 21. And by the way, we're going to have a reason to celebrate at the end of service as we sing our last song as well. And I expect, and I'm asking, for you guys to sing it out when we sing our last song. We're not there yet, but I'm just saying, get ready. Okay? Matthew chapter 21. Man, I love this. I love this story. You know, and Eric talked about it last week. And it says, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent his two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. And I love that Eric pointed out, the Lord didn't have need of anything except right here. And he says, I have need of these. And you just tell them the Lord needs them. Now, church, we have to be discerning. If we catch someone in our garage and says, the Lord has need of these, and they're going out with stuff, that may not be the same. But that was a different thing. And he said, just tell them the Lord has need of these things. And it says the disciples went, in verse 6, went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt. And as Eric said, they weren't riding on this great white stallion. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and they set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches from the trees, and they spread them on the road. And then the multitude who went before and those who followed, they cried out. And they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were celebrating. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And that's celebration. Tons of people showing up. Lining the roads. And I know I've talked to a few before and I've mentioned it up here before. I remember when I saw the Pope, not in person, on TV. And I saw the Pope and thousands of people just lining the road. Those that have babies, what did they do when the Pope came along? You know, or little kids would run up with a rose or whatever. People in wheelchairs saying, get me to the front where I can see him. And you'd see people lined up in wheelchairs and in different physical needs and situations. And I said, that's the closest thing I think we will ever see to Jesus going into Jerusalem. And people saying, man, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just get that close. I think I'll be healed. And I think if I could see him, my life would be different. And I think I could be transformed and changed. God, if I could just get near the Pope. And then when he has a big congregation, a big gathering, And he's down there and the little boy runs up and is playing behind him. And the security's going out. He's like, no, he's okay. Let him go. Remember Jesus said, no, no, no. Let the little children be. Let them be. Let them be. Let them be. They are the life of this church. And they are the life of this world. Let them be. Why are we going to chase them down? Why are we going to shut them down? I remember the story of hearing a baby cry in a church. It's like, oh, you need to take that baby out. Not here. That's life in the church. And I remember the one little boy that walked up to the Pope and he said, my father was not a good guy. The young kid knew that already. He said, he wasn't nice. Do you think he's in heaven? Oh, better the Pope than me? I don't know about you, Eric, but I don't want that question. And man, the Pope was so kind and so gentle to him. And I thought, I can just see Jesus talking to people, not having to get mad at them necessarily. Now, he got upset at the temple. But Jesus had a way of talking to people, just said, here's the way it is. You know, when we go through things, it transforms us in how we used to think. And it changes us when we're faced with the reality ourselves. In verse 10 it says, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved. And they said, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. I can't get through the streets. Who is this? This is the Pope. And he's come and people celebrate him. Now, I want to be very careful. I wasn't saying that the Pope was Jesus. I was just saying that's the closest thing that I think we'll ever see to what happened then when Jesus came through there. And I remember the first time I made that connection, thought, wow, that is a powerful thing. And you listen to the way he talks, and there's times that you have to cleanse the temple, if you will, and overturn the tables. And there's other times you just say, let the little children be, they're fine. But I want to stop right there. Then we have a week of all these different things that happened. We talked about that a little bit a couple weeks ago. And next week we get to celebrate the resurrection. But I want to stop here and say, okay, we're talking about celebrating. After Jesus went through and there was a crew sweeping up palm branches and going up, someone lost a nice coat, I think I'll keep this, and picking up the streets, then what happened to the celebration? Well, the first thing you can do is say, well, right after that, it said Jesus cleansed the temple. Let's celebrate. And then he's going down and flipping tables over in the temple. Lost a lot of followers. I don't know. But my point being that where were all those people screaming out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Crucify him. Days later. And we have to be careful where we are. And that's why I said, let's celebrate. So we have a couple questions. When did you stop celebrating Jesus? If you did. I'm sorry, I'm not saying everyone did. But when did you stop celebrating Jesus? And then why did you stop celebrating him? Well, I came down with this and I got this. Or he took my dad, he took my mom, he took my this and that. I lost a child, I lost this. These things happened to me in life. I lost a marriage, I lost a job, I lost my home. Whatever. When and why did you stop celebrating Jesus? And if you're here today and you can answer those questions, then I have two more questions. When will you start celebrating Jesus and why? Now, I hope it's because someone says, hey, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming. And we can say, he's here. And we've got stories in the Bible that say, oh my gosh, man, I'm looking for the Messiah. Whoa, 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 hang on. You don't need to look any further. Why not? I'm he. I'm the one you were looking for. And he told the lady, go and sin no more. Church, as we celebrate and find reason to celebrate, go and sin no more. Thank you, Adam. World problem solved. We will not be back to church next week. We will just go and sin no more. Okay? Don't worry about looking religious. The Bible tells us about those as well. Be authentic and be faithful. It doesn't matter that we have to look like the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. Jesus said, man, I see right through you. You got all this on the outside, but on the inside, man, you are junk. You are dirty and you are filthy. As our band comes up here for our last song, I'll close with this. It tells us in Isaiah and it tells us in Revelation. And Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. He who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's look for reasons to celebrate Him every day. But we have to do it throughout the day. Because if we do it first thing in the morning and the rest of the day we are derailed, it is over. We have to find reasons to celebrate Him every day and throughout the day. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to help us be aware. Help us be aware of reasons to celebrate. Help us be aware of reasons that people stop celebrating. Help us to be a light to others, Lord, in their celebration. God, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we have reason to celebrate Jesus Christ. But let us not fall away when we leave here during the week, next month, next year. God, those that have fallen away, let us try and find them again. Let us bring them back to you and find reason to celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen.